Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio, brought to you live on bbsradio.com. Every other Wednesday night, or depending on our time area, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, and 4 Pacific. Thank you all for joining me this evening. This is your host, Karen Schoen. And my guest is George Wimbush. And tonight, we're going to do something really different. Now, we've been talking a lot about politics lately, but it's very different when you actually talk to people who have been involved before and then try to analyze what's going on. Because what's happening in today's political scene is nobody in the establishment understands that three strikes and you're out. So we gave you 2010, 2012, 2014, and you still acted like a bunch of jerks. You didn't listen to the people. You could have cared less. We know you're pandering to your donors. We know what's going on. And right now, I think we're at a spot where, I don't know, I think my puppy would be a better candidate than Barack Obama. So we know it. We know what's going on. And we're not buying into your nonsense. And George has been involved. How long, George, have you been involved in politics?
Let me count back and see how old I am. The first real camp, well, back up a little bit more. I've been involved basically all my adult life. I've met governors and senators and everybody else around the clock. And starting in 1984, I actually ran as a candidate for the U.S. Senate myself in North Carolina.
That's really good.
Unfortunately, I didn't
anybody.
Win.
Well, you know what, George? The fact that you tried and the fact that people heard your message was equally as important, because you never know what comes from that.
I agree. In fact, the interesting thing that I see in today's political climate, Donald Trump happens to mirror basically what my story was in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
To get professional politicians out, we should run the country like it was founded.
Yep.
A one-term volunteer Congress, when you go to the Congress, serve one term, and go home and go to work.
Exactly.
But now it has become nothing but a large, bureaucratic, self-serving hole in the ground to drop money.
Now, that's a good description.
We can't get anything done because everybody owes everybody favors around D.C. And so things
George, before you go any further, I want to introduce you to my co-host, John Estabrooks. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it this evening, but he's in Louisiana, or I don't know where he is right now, and he will be...
I'm on the rig, Karen, so there may be some background noise of the speaker system, and I guess we'll deal with that, and if I need to mute, I'll mute my phone, but I'm glad to be with you and glad to share time with you, George.
Wonderful. Same here.
Sorry, George.
That's all right.
Go ahead. You were involved since 1984, so I would imagine that you have seen an incredible evolution in just the political structure and what has happened. Because I don't believe in the 80s it was so obvious that the strings of both parties were being pulled by the same people. Were there more, I don't know how to describe. Well, I guess we went through Ronald Reagan at that time. Were you, which
George,
camp?
Say it again.
Oh, I said, what campaigns did you work with?
Well, I started in a campaign for George W. Bush Sr. In fact, my wife and I were quite instrumental in getting him into the White House because at the time he was running against Bob Dole in North Carolina, and Dole's wife happened to be a friend of ours. So we were looking, having to support, back her. My wife and I were two of the 32 delegates in North Carolina who had gotten to decide who was going to be the candidate. And Barbara Bush came to ask for a special meeting. She came down and bought lunch for us. And in fact, I have nice pictures made together there. We ended up backing George W. Sr., which later on, frankly, was a mistake. And I guess I didn't learn too well and backed George W. Bush and his two campaigns, which also didn't turn out too well. But back in the 80s, I found that the political power base was maybe worse than now, because one reason I decided to run in North Carolina and took on did a primary against Jesse Helms, who was one of the strongest people in the government. And at that point in time, they were so powerful, they actually could decide who ran in every office. If they didn't want you to be a candidate, go home. So I decided to buck them and go down and file and run as a Republican in the primary. And did a pretty dang good job of getting close. If I'd had a little more time or a little more money, I could have won the primary. But we shook things up so well that his organization came to my wife and I later and told us we did more to damage their operation than anybody in history, which I was proud of. We shut down the good old boy deal where they decide who's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So that has not changed a tremendous amount, except for how long comes people like Donald Trump with his own money, says, heck with you, I'm running it away. Now, if I'd had any money anywhere close to what Trump had back then, I could have really shaken up the system. We need to go back to really what the government was founded to be, government for and by the people instead of the government doing to the people. And we really need to work. And that's the reason I backed Trump this time. I think of all the people I've looked at, he's the only one who can do it because he's just brash enough and he can afford it. So we need to get.
Well, I tell you what, George, I wanted to share maybe why I am a supporter of Trump. And it's kind of simple logic to me, after looking at the politics that I've dealt with in my lifetime. Anytime you see both parties and the media, propagandist come out against any candidate, they must have a fear of what it is that he brings to the game, what it is that he is, they've got to be fearful of Donald Trump and what he's proposing.
I think you're correct, because a lot of them know he's going to get them out of a job.
Yes,
and that's really all about federal government is about, jobs for the cronies. And we need to change that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you are much closer to his campaign. How do you feel with regard to the sincerity? He says a lot of things. Do you think he will follow through? Because that is the big question mark from everyone. You know, we, and I mean the American people, if you look at the statistics and everything, we are fed up. So we have, you know, there's three outsiders, so to speak. Our draw to Trump is just like yours, because he is funding his own campaign and he can do whatever he wants to the media and they can't touch him because they don't own him and they can't frame him like they do everybody else.
And that's why they keep attacking him.
Yes. Do you feel that they are sincere, that he will follow through? Because that's what people are saying. Oh, my goodness, how do we know he'll follow through? Oh, my answer is look at his record. you know, he's a winner. It would eat him up, I think, if he didn't follow through.
Oh yeah, I've followed his, I guess we'll say, career for years, from way back. I think, well, the first interview I ever saw with him was by Mike Wallace many years ago, and Mike Wallace was asking him, and he was an unknown to me. I had no clue who Donald Trump was, and he said, "Well, tell me, Mr. Trump, how did you go about getting a 20-year moratorium on taxes in New York City?" And his direct reply was, "Because I didn't ask for 40 years." And I was impressed. What he said, the city was bankrupt.
Right.
They had to have some help, so he started developing properties.
Mm-hmm. See, and people forget that.
I didn't forget a word of it because I didn't ask for 40 years. They may have taken 60.
That's right. At that point, they would have taken anything.
And
but he has done a lot of really good things. And before we go any further, for all of our folks that are listening, there is a big controversy about what Donald said about stopping the Muslims from coming into the country. And everybody is screaming that it is unconstitutional. What they are forgetting is that the Constitution does not apply to people who don't live here and aren't participating in American culture and life and country. So the Constitution does not apply to them, and it falls more under national security than designating a religion. But there is a law on the books that everybody seems to have forgotten.
Correct.
And this law, and I just want to read a little section of it, because it's very, very important that you understand what this is. This is Title 8, U.S. Code 1182, and addresses aliens and nationality. Entry on any alien to be detriment to the interest of the United States, the president may, by proclamation, suspend entry. Okay, a president does have statutory authority to keep anyone out for any reason he thinks best for the United States. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any alien or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may proclaim, and for such a period as he shall deem necessary, suspend entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose upon the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. I don't think anything is plainer than that.
I agree.
Harmful.
In fact, there's another one. I believe I sent you a copy of Public Law 414.
Yes, you did.
And there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that requires us to have any immigration.
Correct. So,
it is a privilege that can be granted, but we're not required to let in any immigrant.
In addition, the immigration laws are, and the immigrants were to come in to benefit the United States, not to burden the United States. They were coming here because, A, they saw a better life with an opportunity to work, but B, because Americans needed them to be here. And when it was not good for Americans, like we are taking your jobs, it should be stopped. Immigration is not a right. It is a privilege.
Yes. And it has been slowed and manipulated to the needs of the nation and to our economy. This is not the first time that anyone has proposed or you know, let's slow it down, let's put it on. But the thing that most Americans really need to understand about Mr. Trump's and many of our concern is the fact that if we allow these Muslims to come in here, we have a fact-based history that they will perform terrible deeds. You know, we just watched what would happen when two go. But they failed to also, what we know from fact-based history, is that Muslims are not assimilating to the American way and style of life. They are not joining in and supporting this nation 100%.
That's why Public Law 414
yes,
makes them illegal to be here.
Yes, it says Islam, this is Public Law 414, Islam by law is prohibited from U.S. immigration. The Immigration and Nationality Act passed on June 27, 1952, and used, by the way, by Jimmy Carter, to keep the Iranians out of America. Revised the laws related to immigration, naturalization, and nationality for the United States. That act, which became Public Law 414, established that both the law and the intent of Congress regarding the immigration of aliens into the United States and remains in effect today. Among the many issues it covers is one in particular found in Chapter 2, Section 212. It is the prohibition. Prohibition means you can't do it. It is no of the entry into the United States if the alien belongs to an organization seeking to overthrow the government of the United States by force, violence, or any other unconstitutional means. This, by its very definition, rules out Islamic immigration into the United States. But this law is being ignored by the White House. Islamic immigration into the United States would be prohibited under this law because the Quran, Sharia law, and the Hadith all require complete submission to Islam, which is anti-theoretical to the U.S. government, the Constitution, and to the Republic. So this law, which is now being ignored, is affirming everything that Donald Trump said when he said, we got to stop them because we have no idea who these people are. And until we have a way to figure out, it is too bad.
Laws like this will be ignored as long as we have a Muslim in the White House.
Well, that's the other problem.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
A big problem.
And, you know, even if, you know, Mr. Trump also the media portrayed that as an error. But even if, you know, Barack Obama will not espouse his Muslim belief, he cannot deny by fact that his father was a Muslim. And that his strongest ally in the White House that occupies every space that he goes is Valerie Jarrett, who is, you know, an Islamic worshiper. So if she is an Islamic worshiper, then she's a Muslim. And
so
that being
in the
said,
White
you know, there's no evidence.
Muslim.
Exactly. So that being said, then we have a body of evidence that the actions of this administration, are against the Constitution of the United States just by simply allowing and importing Islamic believers.
I totally agree. In fact, I have total documentation on the Obama birth, his faith, all the way down the list. And he was born in Kenya to a Muslim. And I saw her stand up and say it. Michelle Obama said that I was proud to get to visit the birthplace of my husband in Kenya. She said it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, there's a huge body of evidence about that, you know, and there are, George, many of us that have made a huge effort for the impeachment of Barack Obama, not only on the fact that he has lied about his birth and his birthplace, but also the actions that he's taken against this country by arming our country's enemies. You know, that's the biggest slap in the face of every veteran and every soldier that has fought in the Middle East and died in the Middle East, is the fact that you've got a president that is opening up the door to those very people and armed them. You know, the creation of ISIS belongs on Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's head.
Absolutely. In fact, I got another documentation on that today, the Benghazi report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to back up and tell you a little bit about arming the country, my family, my great-great-great-great-whatever-grandfather came here as I wouldn't say refugee, because of before America was America in the 1600s. He ended up, his offspring fought in the Revolutionary War. I've had brothers and family fight in every war America has had since we started the Revolution. And I'm very proud to be 100% American, but I'm tired of being run over by people who aren't even American. Now, today I got this report for the American Patriot. I guess you folks get all those documents.
Mm-hmm.
And it spells out the disturbing connection of CIA and Benghazi Commission admits about ISIS and Obama. This is now by the CIA and others who say that, which is what I speculated for the time since the Benghazi event. The Benghazi event was made, it was developed by Obama and Hillary to cover up the fact that Chris Stevens and the others knew what was going on, that Obama was transferring billions of dollars in armament to the ISIS people in Libya.
Yes.
When they found out about it, he had to have it bumped off, same as he did his grandmother and whoever else knows anything about him. And
I'm afraid that that's the exact cover-up, though, is the fact that Christopher Stevens was sacrificed because he became aware of the trading of the arms that was going to take place. And it was, I still firmly believe that there's a lot of proof and evidence that Chris Stevens was there to handle an arms trade that went awry, and it was to get back Stinger missiles that would have been able to be ID'd as being American-made.
And, they're disclosing that now. Finally, as of today, that's being disclosed in the Benghazi further hearings. So now we need to get an impeachment going and get the traitor out of there.
Well, we do have a website, so everybody write this down, and you can go to cacfl.us if you're in Florida. If you're anywhere else in the country, go to cactn.weebly.com and go and sign up there and get advice of what we can do. We also have a Monday radio show that explains everything. The articles have been written. They've been written by the North American Law Center. And you can sign the petition that is centerforimpeachment.com. And please call Louis Gohmert's office. And I have the main switchboard number. That is 202-224-3121. They will connect you to Louis Gohmert's office and tell him, yes, you support his proposal for impeachment. Louis has been talking about it, and he said, where are the American people? I'll take it if I hear from them. We have to tell him.
Absolutely. We need to be on it now.
Let me ask you a question, George. People tell me, when I call, it doesn't make any difference. You being on the inside, does it make a difference when people call?
Probably, if they can get to the right people. But the problem is getting to the right contacts.
Okay, what should we do? Who should we contact?
In Gohmert's case, call his office. Talk to his assistant. You'll never get him, but leave a message with his assistant.
Okay.
They've all got a chief of staff, and if you can get the ear of the chief of staff, that's a great starting point, Karen. But a lot of times those folks are tied up. But I mean, he's got staff people, and you have to demand. I don't want to speak to a switchboard. I want to get online and be able to express my concern and my wishes to a staff member.
Correct. And
another way to do that is call the field office in the state they're in. Their home office.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I agree, you have to get to
most
right
of those
person.
Guys have got two or three, in the larger cities in their districts. They're going to have at least two offices. Some of them have as many as three offices. Plus, they'll have their D.C. offices.
I believe Rubio has five offices.
Let's talk a little bit about the candidates, because next week is going to be another debate. And everyone, please listen to all of the debates. The debates are very important. It is important that you look at the candidate. Look at their body language. Look at the way they answer the questions. Don't allow the commentator to frame what the candidate is actually saying, which is what keeps on happening. And we had a perfect example of that, of Donald Trump and the Muslims. They like to reframe what the people say. Oh, George, a question. You worked with the Bush family, so what about Jeb?
Well, I talked with Jeb not long ago when he was on his one of his visits in Winter Park. We've talked on the phone since then. We've emailed and texted. And they wanted me to help them, but I finally just had to tell him I don't think he's savable.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
they may put up a contract on me, but he is floundering. He doesn't even know what he's doing.
I agree with you, and I think he's so out of touch with the people that he's somewhere in la-la land, thinking things are the same as they were 20 years ago, and now we found out that he partnered the state with the United Nations. So
yeah.
Nobody's happy with him.
Had him in Florida, even.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, we can't have that. And the two biggest mistakes he made, but it's been really three, when he came out immediately before he even announced he was running, and he adamantly said, I'm all for Common Core and amnesty. Both
right.
of those don't fly.
No.
Those birds are dead. Common Core is one of the worst things in America, and amnesty is even worse. So he just killed himself up front, and I don't think he can recover from it. No matter how much money he raises, you can't recover from such bad mistakes.
Mm-hmm. What did they say? You can't recover from stupid.
Right. You can't fix stupid.
Right. You can't fix stupid.
Right. My old buddy, you're wrong. You can't fix stupid.
Yep. Okay, and then Marco Rubio, who is climbing in the polls, and I hope will take a nosedive after what he just did, because he was not even in Congress when the bill came up for the Every Student Achieves, Every Student Success Act, which you know will mean Every Student Failure Act.
Absolutely.
And he wasn't even present. So what on earth are we paying his salary for?
Nothing. He really shouldn't have been. Why even what he did really, I think, was skip the vote so he wouldn't pin himself down as voting against the act.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fortunately, we're not stupid. We know that story.
Unfortunately, they think Americans are stupid. Of course, unfortunately, a lot of Americans are stupid. Or how do you think Barack Obama could have stolen
yes.
the spot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, the real.
Well, a lot of
yeah.
a lot
how did
of
he
people.
Get elected twice? Huh?
Well, the
a
truth
of,
is, he didn't get elected. They stole.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I saw some of myself in person in Orlando, for instance. The Obama teams brought. On Sunday, they brought these nice tour buses in to all the black or traditionally black churches in Orlando, loaded them up with the parish, church members, gave them box lunch, took them uptown, and gave them walk in, register, and vote on the spot. They did busload after busload of that week, two or three weekends for whenever the voting times were open. So that was stealing vote, but the way they really stole the election, they did catch a woman in Ohio during 2012 balloting, called a poll worker who had reprogrammed the voting machines, no matter what you touched, it voted for Obama.
Mm.
And think about this one. In Philadelphia, I think they have 87 voting precincts. Not one single Romney vote.
Yeah.
It's almost almost mathematically
never has happened in the history.
Right. Almost impossible. But then also bear in mind that Peter Lewis, who's one of Obama's big controllers, I won't say contributors because they handle it, he was stuck in there like a puppet to do what they tell him to. He is the guy who controls the voting system in America, all the tabulating. Obama's insider.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
That's interesting to hear.
Of course, you wouldn't see anything like this prosecuted after the election because who was in charge? Holder.
Right.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't wait to.
It was stolen, but Americans stood by and allowed it to happen.
I will bet you that before he leaves, he pardons Hillary.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because she's on the hot seat again now. She's most likely going to be indicted. Of course, I'm hoping he is too. The Benghazi deal, to me, that is. That's multiple first-degree murder for both of them.
For both of them.
They killed those ambassadors to cover up the illegal gun dealing. So it's going to get
in his case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, exactly.
And, of course, everything about this climate change BS is just a way to cover up everything else because nobody has time to think about anything.
That's true.
Well, I mean, you know, the use of smoke and mirrors has always been a great ploy of anywhere where tyranny starts to rule and has total access to the power base. And that's what we have right now. We've got a progressive ideology in both parties that are working together in unison with the people that actually have the power and the control of the money. And they can buy and sell who they choose, whatever scientists they want.
Well, I've studied climate change all my life. I was raised on a farm many years ago up in North Carolina. We knew climate change real well. But think about the science behind it. Now, unfortunately, when I grew up in the fourth grade, we knew more than the college grads now.
Yes, which is very, very sad.
Common sense things. Actually, the Earth started climate on Earth started changing about 2.5 billion years ago.
Right.
When the Earth started forming, climate changed. The state of Florida, for instance, has been underwater all the way up to Georgia 18 times since the time the plates broke away from what is now Australian side. People don't stop, think about this. Every 10 to 15,000 years, we go through a tremendous climate change. We'll have a real deep freeze, ice age, and then we'll have heat. So it's always going to be changing. If the Earth didn't change, we wouldn't have life. It's moving, it's heating. The inside of the Earth, for instance, the shell of the Earth is only about 5 to 25 miles thick. And when you get below that, you're into the real heat. The next 1,800 miles, the Earth's core is hotter than the surface of the sun. Now, there's a lot of heat down there. Where does it go? Up to the shells. So these dummies don't understand. Yes, we have climate change.
They don't understand because they're not taught anything. I had a guest on my show last night, and I wanted to share this with everybody for a minute. His organization goes around to different schools and works with kids, and on a weekend, the kids build a boat, and they can use the boat. And he said it's the best experience because they get to use all the tools they learned in school. And I said, really, what have they learned? And he said, nothing.
Right.
I said, it's horrible. I had a group of kids last week, and he said, I asked them if we shave a quarter of an inch off of this end of this 4-inch piece of wood and a quarter of an inch off the other end, what are we left with? And he said, this was high school seniors, and not one of them could tell me what they were left with.
Correct.
This is frightening.
Couldn't get to 3.5, huh?
Yep. They could not come up to 3.5. Very
sad. It is
sad. Very, very sad. What are we doing to these kids? And yet he proved, I asked him, does it matter if you go to a wealthy area or a poor area? What is the reception with the kids? And he said they are so excited to be able to do something and not be, you know, to physically be able to do something. And it gives them such confidence. And they are so elated when they see the boat when it's finished. They're building a 10-foot boat. And he said that it just gives them so much encouragement. And he said, and he told them that the kids, no matter where they go, they tell them, why can't we do this in school? Why won't they let us do this in school? This is very, very bad.
Absolutely. And on one other note on the climate change situation, which is all smoke and mirrors, but I like people to understand what we're talking about. Know what you're talking about if you're going to get into conversation with somebody, but study it. Get into the books and find out what the situation is, what they talk. Well, it's all human cause. Well, yes, it is, because there are more humans put on the earth in the last 50 years than in the previous 200,000 years. We're going too fast for the climate to sustain the way it was. But now, if we want to go back to the era where we didn't have any industrial revolution, no automobiles, no lights for our houses except maybe a candle, no electricity, no automobile, no telephone, no internet, no central heat, no nothing. Do away with all of that if you don't want climate change. But it's still going to change. Listen, kid, it's still going to change. So
yes,
people have to understand, do you want to be in the ice ages or act like idiots and let Obama ruin us?
Well, you're absolutely right. What about Ted Cruz? Did you do any work with his group?
Not really, but I have met his father a couple times, Rafael mm-hmm. Cruz. In fact, he has good friends that I know here in the Orlando area. He hangs out there quite a bit. It seems to be the consensus. Notice the way he has not beat up on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Still think he's hoping to be the VP candidate. That's my opinion.
I would think you would be right. Or even, you know, Trump could turn around and say, hey, want to be VP?
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I believe it was pretty well settled. I think at one time, be Trump and Cruz.
That would be a good team. That would be a really good team.
Because Cruz is good in the legislative side, and he could really be a good part of a team.
Yeah, I think that would be really, really good.
Would be my hope.
Yep.
Of course, now they're
interesting.
I'd say Cruz is way ahead in Iowa, but I don't think anybody's going to be way ahead in the next couple of months in Iowa. Iowa's a weird state.
Can you explain the Iowa caucus? Do you know
yes.
how that works?
At some point, they have a weird system.
They have a very weird system.
Not a primary. They get together in private little groups, like the your precinct. They get together and kind of hash out who they're going to vote for. It's not really what I'd call secret balloting. It's almost like a jury trial. They then pick the candidate based on the caucus instead of a real primary. It's the only state that does that.
Okay, but wait a minute. How do the people get to the caucus?
They know where they're going to be. They're in certain neighborhoods.
I don't mean physically. I mean, how do you get to be a caucus member? Where do the people fit in?
You would be a voter in that precinct.
Okay, so the member of the caucus comes from a precinct who voted that person to go to the caucus.
Correct. What if, for instance, the precinct met at a certain Lutheran church down the street? The people who voted at that precinct show up on that specific day, and they are a member of the caucus. Of course, they've got to prove they're a registered voter in that precinct, but they can all do like a free-for-all.
I see.
And that's why it's so complicated to work at state, because the candidates have to get out and have individuals trying to work each precinct.
Oh, at least they get out. That may not be such a bad thing.
Well, it's kind of tough to do, though, at every county in the state, or every precinct in the state.
Yeah. Well, right now I know in Florida, folks, there's another one, and if you're living in Florida, contact your legislator and tell them that you want to have the open primary in Florida. Because what's happening now is independents are being forced to choose so that they can vote in a primary. That's wrong. They should be able, they're voting. They should be able to vote in a primary. So
I'm not so sure I agree with us on that one.
Okay.
Because a person who has an open primary, say if I'm a Democrat and I want to undermine the Republican candidate, I'll go in there and vote against that Republican candidate, or vote for that one. Vote for the one you want to influence. So it can get very dangerous.
Yes, I understand that, but they do that anyway.
Well, yeah.
So, I'm looking at maybe we could pick up a couple of independents because.
Well, that would be good too, but then it gets muddied. I've seen that try before, and it's really difficult because you're having people come in from whatever place they want to and just vote. In North Carolina, for instance, in the 2012 election, they proved beyond a doubt that over 35,000 of the people who voted in the North Carolina presidential campaign had also voted in other states.
Oh, we had a lot of that in Florida, especially the snowbirds. They vote in New York or Massachusetts or Connecticut or New Jersey, and then they complain how much they hate the politics of New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts and New Jersey, and then they come down here and vote for the same people.
Yes, and that's what happened in North Carolina. Over 35,000 of them had voted in other states rural and then showed up to vote in North Carolina. So there's a very, very high possibility of voter fraud in any election. And that's why we have to have poll workers and kind of watch it all the can.
Well, somebody sent me a YouTube, folks, go and take a look at this video and see what you think. And it is No More Voter Fraud. It's a video on YouTube, and it was done by somebody, I believe, in Great Britain. And he suggested that we use we take the paper ballot. In Florida, you're writing on a paper and then it scans through a machine.
Yes.
But what he was saying was let it scan through the machine and come up with a barcode so that you, the individual, then get back, you have the copy of your barcode. So when they're tabulating the votes, you would be able to check and see that, you know, this barcode went with that vote. Did I do that? If there's a discrepancy, so then you would know if there was a discrepancy. I thought that was a very good idea.
This would have to be only one barcode. There couldn't be two matching.
No. You have a barcode like they do when you rip something off and it's the same on the top and the bottom.
Oh, yeah, but identifies I mean, no other person could have the same one except the...
No. You have your own individual barcode.
Yes.
And then you have a copy of your barcode. So if it says, like it did in, where was it, in Palm Beach County, that 140% of the people voted for Pat Murphy instead of Alan West.
Pretty good record.
Yes, there would be a record, and then they would be able to immediately see a fraud or a pattern of fraud.
Sure. And run them through the computer, it'll point out if there's more than one of a barcode.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very, very positive approach.
Maybe the closest thing we've seen to what could work. The old days are gone of when I was a young guy, whenever it was all paper ballots and they stood there and hand counted the things.
That's right. That's what it should be.
Should be, but I don't think we'll ever get that far back.
No, I'm afraid we won't. No, yeah. I don't think the powers that be. The sad part is, that I think people don't realize that the Diebold machines are made in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And the software comes from a company in Spain that is partially owned by George Soros.
Peter Lewis.
Oh, and yes, and Peter Lewis, yes.
The guy who owns Progressive Insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
So it's all collusion.
Yes. Oh, funny. Funny you should mention
that. Just like all your school textbooks are controlled by Pearson, which is a Muslim-owned organization.
Correct. Brought to us, I might add, by the Bush family. Obama had nothing to do with this one.
Yeah, but of course he's perpetuating.
Yes.
He's all thrilled for it.
Yes. Well, Bush put it in place. Clinton put it together. Bush set up the funding mechanism, and Obama put it on steroids.
Yes.
And
but we need help.
Yes. How sad is that? But anyway, on a positive note, we have some really good things that are happening, and they'll be happening very quickly. We did have a couple of good things going on in Florida. There will be a bill. I am in shock. I guess it's because our legislators need to be reelected. But there will be a bill in the state, and I don't know the number of it yet, that has to do with defunding any sanctuary city or county in the state. So that was a positive thing because, as we all know, we have 12 sanctuary cities and 5 sanctuary counties, which is not a good thing.
Correct.
So I think that that's a very, very good thing to lock on to. And also, it looks like there are enough votes to eliminate the red light cameras.
Good.
So that one should also get a deep six. Anyway, we are almost at the end of our show. John, where are you? Where are you off to?
You say Don or me?
John. No, sometimes we lose John when he's out in the deep, but we do like to hear the sound of those drills working, especially, folks, with what is going on now. Pay attention to what OPEC is doing. This is the way these companies work. Their goal is to destroy the American shale companies because the American shale companies went out and borrowed money for expansion. And when the price drops below, I think John said $48 a barrel, the shale companies begin to lose money. So although it's good on our gas tank, it is not good for their profitability. And if these companies default, I will guarantee, because this is what's going on, that hedge funds and international corporations and George Soros will be scooping up these companies so that they can control the energy. Remember, he who controls the energy controls the country. And that's what this is all about. So watch. Right now, George Soros bought 2 coal mines, and I'm sure that he's just sitting back licking his chops and can't wait for the next drilling company, shale company, to go out of business so he can scoop that up as well.
As he took $5 billion out of the American economy to, he gave $5 billion to Obama's. Obama went down and gave the $5 billion to Brazil to develop oil wells off their coast. And guess who owns them?
And George Soros.
Yes.
Actually, he gave $3 billion to Brazil and $2 billion to Venezuela, to Mexico. And George Soros owns both of those companies, or owns shares in both of those companies. And guess who else? Bill Gates, isn't he?
Yes. He's become a socialist, too.
Yeah, he's just looking out for you.
After he made so many billions stealing from people on software that he stole from Apple.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's another historical thing that people should go and look up. These people became billionaires. They didn't become billionaires by being nice. They became billionaires mostly by stealing.
That's what Bill Gates did.
And by corruption. And they
stole Windows from Apple. And admitted it, but they filed their case one day too late to fight Apple, and that's how he ended up owning the Windows software.
Yep. And he also lied heavily to get into IBM.
Of
so,
course.
Lying is nothing new to these people. They do it. It's second nature.
Yes.
The problem is our safeguard is supposed to be our representative. If a corporation, if the head of a corporation, everybody screams at Donald Trump for eminent domain. If the head of a corporation's goal is to make their investors healthy, and he goes to the government and says, I want this, the government is supposed to be protecting the people and saying, no, you can't have it. But the government is not doing that because the corporate heads are saying, I want this, and by the way, here's a check for your PAC or fund or charity or whatever it is that you want your donation to go to. So that's the real problem. The corporate heads would be in their little place if our safeguard, which was our elected officials, actually worked for us, but they don't.
Instead of
for them. Yes, they work for themselves. We're going to have to say good evening, and I can't believe that we are out of time already. My goodness, how time flies. Folks, it is very important, like I said, that you watch the debate, watch the people that you are, vet them yourselves, even if they're not answering your question. And listen to what they say. Let others frame the conversation. You made a very good point, George, and we'll close on that note. And that was when Donald Trump said he was going to close down their internet. He said, we're going to close down their internet. Everybody picked it up as the internet. Big difference.
There's a difference.
Big difference. So you watch for yourself and be critical for yourself. Well, thank you so much, George. It has been a pleasure and informative.
My pleasure being with you, Karen and Dawn.
So we're going to say good night, everyone. You've been listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on bbsradio.com every other Wednesday night. We'll be back in 2 weeks from 7 to 8 in Eastern and down the line. Hope you can join us again. Go and look at our podcast. Share the information that you get. Information that you get that you keep to yourself is like not getting anything. You have to share and you have to act. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen. Please visit our website, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, KarenSchoen.com, and AmericaIsMyName.org. Visit our Facebook page and like us and share the information. And that would be Facebook.com at American Freedom Watch Radio. Thank you all, and have a wonderful 2 weeks, and we'll be back again.